when the pastor asked me to speak a few weeks back because he was leaving, I really didn't have anything super prepared. I had something that was in my mind that had been brewing for quite a while, and seems to be the case because he asked me to preach a few months back, and same thing. I just had something I had like on the kind of a, in my mind that I just wanted to share. And so this week as I was preparing, I just a lot of my thoughts finally kind of came together. And I posted something on Facebook this week essentially asking, if you had a choice to pick truth or deception, what would you say? I mean, I would say with much certainty most people would pick truth, because we know that if you had the option to be deceived, why would you pick being deceived? Do you want to get cheated? Do you want to be lied to? It's like, I wouldn't. It doesn't make any sense to believe something because someone knew you're going to lie to us. Whether that means you're going to, that was an intentional broken promise to help us, or take money in return for a service we never got the money for. So why would we even continue to be deceived? See, there's a catch with deception. It's deceiving. You don't know it's coming. Most often you don't know that you're being swindled, you're being stood up, or you're being misled. I would say at some point in our lives, everyone has experienced deception one way or another. Whether we were being straight lied to, or we've been told a lie to someone else. Someone may have used us and lied about their intentions, or use our name or our business to mislead others and steal from them. And deception comes in many parts. Then there's also when we were children trying to lie to cover up our, you know, like why we didn't have our homework that day, or maybe why we were late going to work, kind of covering up their excuse. I mean, and essentially in those kind of things, you're still lying. There's deception. You're deceiving the people you're trying to talk to believe something else. Lying and deception occur quite often, and most often without us even realizing it. However, just because the world is so saturated in lies, doesn't mean that we have to be part of it. It happens every day. Today, we live in a society, in a world of information. Information that is, it blows my mind how much information we have at our fingertips. Literally at our fingertips. The internet alone contains so much information. It's mind-boggling. There's social media, which includes Facebook, Twitter, blogging, and so on. As well as there are major news websites, then there are magazines and newspapers. It's hard to get away from the mainstream sources such as TV and radio. It's quite overwhelming to hear so many different reports. Because you've got this side of the story, you've got this side of the story, you've got... One question kind of comes to mind is how do we decipher the truth from lies, the facts from fiction, honesty from deception? Essentially, I have two approaches to this. One is what I call the defensive approach. The defensive approach of seeking truth. That's correcting and pointing out the lies that are around us and all the deceptive actions that may occur. And there's a lot of areas you can find deception in or even try to point out what is basically being, whether lies or being deceptive practices. You can find them in the news. You look online, you look in the print, you look in the TV. You can also find things in the government, whether it's through regulations, elections, policies, taxes. There's deception happening, whether we know it or not. In companies, there have been times where, you know, whether it's through harassment, what unfair practices, there's wage issues, deception happens. Even in relationships, there's cheating, there's hiding money, there's hiding just things within the relationship you don't want them to know about. As well as even religions. Leading maliciously, stealing from members. And that doesn't mean from the high ups, that means it could even be within the same people. Deception happens a lot. I mean, that's kind of without a doubt. But there are times where confrontation needs to happen. That's why I call this the defense, because the one doing the deceiving is on the aggressive. They've already made their move. So now you, as on the defense, you have to, is this a lie or is this truth? You've got to decipher the right from the wrong here. Essentially, you're the defender of truth. That's why I call it defense. However, if all you do is play the defender, you're not going to get anywhere. You're just going to be keep pushing back, and basically you're going to keep going until it keeps pushing you back. You're going to always be playing defense. I mean, in the sports analogy, I didn't want to go down the sports road, but when you're defense, you never go for, you're not the one with the ball. You're always the one stopping the ball. But the ball will keep moving as long as you have to keep it at bay. However, yeah, as well as playing that, you can spend a lifetime, literally a lifetime, trying to uncover all the lies that are around you, all the deception that's going on, whether it's in your little circles or the circles or the whole world. Because when you're done, when your life is over, there's going to be a whole lot more lies to uncover. When you're trying to catch someone who is being deceptive, you have to be careful of your motive. Because you can... What's your intention? What are you trying to uncover? Why are you trying to uncover this deception? Are you trying to do it to point out, oh, they're wrong, I'm right, kind of a, like, look at me kind of attitude? Are you trying to show how messed up they are, trying to humble them? I mean, they will be humbled once, you know, things are pointed out, but is that your intent to humble them, but in a sense, raise yourself up? What happens, pride kicks in, and it kind of, basically you're not doing what Christ has instructed. You're being selfish. As a follower and disciple of Christ, seeking the recognition for pointing out the deception is, in and of itself, a deception. And goes against the nature of what Christ instructed. James 3:16 kind of says it pretty simply, for where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing there are. When you're doing it for yourself, you're not doing it for God. And it can compound. With this motive, it can be easy to get sidetracked with pointing out all the other issues in others. That would bring us to the ever-popular verse about pointing out the speck in your neighbor's eye, but forgetting about the plank that's built up in your eye. Meaning, if you've been focused so much on bringing down other people, that you've lost the entire initiative of what you were trying to accomplish in the first place, of correcting your brother and sister, pointing out an issue that would help move them along in their walk with Christ. But if you must point out an issue, do it with the love of Christ. But what is that? Galatians 6 kind of helps us makes this point. Galatians 6 says this, brethren, and this is verse 1 through 4. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Bear or endure, carry one another's burdens and troublesome moral faults. In this way, fulfill and observe perfectly the law of Christ, the Messiah, and complete what is lacking in your obedience to it. For if any person thinks himself to be somebody, too important to condescend or shoulder another's load, when he is nobody of superiority except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. But let every man, or every person, carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. He can then have the personal satisfaction and joy of doing something commendable in itself alone, without resorting to boastful comparison with his neighbor. The key part of the scripture is without any sense of superiority and with all gentleness. Be essentially humble yourself. Be gentle if you must point out another person's sin. As well, with the defense, you have to be on guard. Colossians 2:8 says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the work, rather than according to Christ." Be aware, yet be smart. Going back to verse 4 of Galatians 6, it talks about carefully examine yourself and test your own work. Which kind of leads me into the offensive approach. Talked about the defensive, meaning essentially pointing out the deception in others and those around us. But the offensive approach is its focus on being righteous and being humble. Essentially, it comes down to be right. But I don't mean be prideful. Don't like, hey, I'm right. Be honest. Be truth. I call this the offensive approach to truth seeking, because you're not holding your ground, you're laying the path of truth. You're doing the right thing, not only for your sake, but for the sake of God. That means being honest every day. Consistently, that's how you make a deep impact in the world around you. Starting at home. I picked this picture for a reason, because it's a little drop. Drops, if you watch a little droplet, it creates ripples in the water. Just one drop can create a ripple into an entire pool of water. So I say that because if you're honest every day, if you're truth every day, you will create this ripple in your world around you, whether it's just your family, the place that you work, the church that you're in, the community that you're with, you're in, and it ripples throughout the world. So starting at home, the children of honest parents are blessed. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." The Living Bible says it like this: "It's a wonderful heritage to have an honest father." This mindset of being truthful, doing the right thing, will change the atmosphere around you, your family, your work, your community, and so on. I didn't clear this with Ina, but a few years ago, sorry, it's not a bad thing. It's actually kind of what got me in this whole mindset of being truthful. When we first started dating, she laid out an ultimatum right up front. She says, "Never lie to me." The reasons were simple. She had a relationship that essentially failed her because they lied to her. And from then on, she always had this thing, "Don't lie to me. If you want my trust, don't lie to me." So to me, it was a big deal. Not because I was a big liar, I lied everywhere, but you don't realize how much we lie every day. You don't realize it because they're little things. You kind of put them under the carpet, the little white lies, a little fib here and there. Because that's kind of what I would do. I would just kind of like, I wouldn't tell the whole truth, or I just would just like, oh, I didn't go there, just whatever, just pass it along. And nobody hurt, nobody was the wiser. We call them the white lies. The issue with these little lies is that they're little seeds that can grow into major destructive issues if left untended, or better yet, not planted at all. I took on this challenge, and I can attest, though it was hard, it has been rewarding to very many areas of my life, especially with God, my marriage, and my relationships with my friends and my family. I'm led to a few scriptures that encouraged me when it came to being truth. Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Simple, straightforward. Don't lie. And this also correlates to the original commandment of bearing false witness. If you're not familiar with that old term, it's lying. Just don't do it. You're not the same person from before you came to know Christ. So that stuff is gone. Don't lie. Instead, be honest. Instead, I look at this as more of a positive approach, where instead of not lying, be honest. Tell the truth. Be upfront, straightforward. Tell the truth. 1 Peter chapter 2, 13 through 17 says this. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And in Proverbs 12, 13 and 14, the wicked is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will come through trouble. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand will be rendered to him. I read this in the Message because it made more sense to me. It's the same thing, but kind of broken down a little bit easier. The gossip of bad people gets them in trouble. The conversation of good people keeps them out of it. Well-spoken words bring satisfaction. Well-done work has its own rewards. If you're in a servant role, honor and respect those in authority. No matter if you agree or not, you're doing good, doing the right thing all the time. And then when those are trying to find fault with people, essentially, they can't find fault with you because you're doing the right thing. They will try, but because of your dedication to serve God completely and choose to do the right thing, you will come out victoriously. Those two scriptures kind of really solidify my thought, my whole mindset of being a truth seeker. Not just pointing out the faults in others or the misleading actions in others, but to go a step farther of being honest. Always telling the truth to people. Because when somebody wants to try to condemn you or accuse you of something, they can't because they have nothing against you. They have no fault against you. They're essentially lying again. Christ went through that. He had no fault. They still accused him, but he still had nothing. Nope, you had no tangible evidence against him because he was blameless. Luke 16:10. Whoever can be trusted, in the King James, it's faithful, with every little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with little will also be dishonest with much. The Proverbs kind of, there's a point I want to make here. In Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. People who are deceptive, people who are lying, are essentially trying to gain something for themselves. Whether that's a money thing, whether it's a pride, something that would give them satisfaction, a selfish satisfaction. Nothing to glorify God, but to serve themselves. So if they're trusted with something small and they fail because they wanted to take it for themselves, you can only imagine what's going to happen if they've given a lot more. It would just make their pride just explode. But if you're given something that's small and you were faithful with it, if you were trusted with it and you did well, God's going to go ahead and, okay, well, this person's trustworthy. This person's faithful with what I've given them. They'll be given much more. These two verses I pointed out, these direct in leaving a legacy of character and truth. Ultimately, we as individuals will know who is being honest in the end, as well as God. Because when it's all said and done, the only person that you can account for in front of God is yourself. Your wife, your husband, your kids, your coworkers, they're not to be the one, you're not accounting for them. You're only accounting for yourself. They have to account for themselves. Remember, deception may create detours in our lives. We may go down paths that we didn't intend to with deception. But truth will always be truth and will win out in the end. There's a couple things where I've seen dishonesty around me. I mean, it's whether it's at work, whether it's just seen on the news. It bothers me. It's like, how do I correct this? And that's when I was preparing this, asking God, how do I present this? It's in my head, but I don't know how to say it. It kind of came down instead of trying to figure out all the problems and to solve all the problems in the world. Be truth. Set the new standard. It starts with you. That doesn't mean all the people in Washington, whether the people at your company or even at home. If you're honest and you're consistently honest, you're consistently faithful to God, that's where the ripple effect will come into play. You keep putting a drop in the water, it ripples out. Honesty ripples away. It ripples out to the next person. And then you have another ripple. So the whole thing is just rippling with truth. I mean, it's a simple concept. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's be truth. So I say all this, and I challenge you to live your life, be truth. I keep it short and simple. Let's pray. God, I thank you for the opportunity to choose whether we want to live for you or we want to live for ourselves. It's these choices that we get to make every day that shows us, it shows you how much we can love you. You love us unconditionally and nothing will change that. But we get to choose how much we essentially can make you happy or not, make you proud of your children by doing the right thing. God, I want to open up an opportunity for anyone that doesn't exactly know you, hasn't committed themselves to you completely, that this is an opportunity to invite God to be your ruler, your king, the best friend you'll ever have. Because he'll never let you go, never let you down. If there's anyone here, you can raise your hand. We'll pray with you afterwards. If anyone's listening online, let this be an opportunity for you to seek God in your personal time, or find someone that you know that knows God to ask them to pray with you. If there's anyone here today that wants to be prayed for, ask if you want to come forward, we'll pray with you. But God asks you would be over us and encourage us and every circumstance that we come into, that we would be truth, we'd be honest, be faithful to your word. Give us the strength to endure some hard times. Let us be humble in the great times. God, you're amazing. Thank you for this opportunity to share your word. God, you rock. Amen.